The following program is sponsored by the Jelinski Advisory Group, which is solely responsible for its content.
Tired of losing money in the stock market roller coaster? Frustrated with the government taxing you into oblivion? Worried about inflation? How do you prepare for so many financial uncertainties? Welcome to the show that will help you develop your game plan. The Financial Quarterback with Josh Jelinski. Josh is a noted financial advisor and president of the Jelinski Advisory Group, and he's here to answer your questions. Now, let's kick off your financial future. Here's Josh Jelinski.
Yes, it's the moment you've all been waiting for, our interview with the president of Dalbar, Lewis Harvey, who is going to be talking about how your psychology may be the worst thing for your portfolio. And we're taking your calls all hour, so maybe you have a question for Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar, on the difference between what the S&P makes or the supposed stock market makes and what investors are actually getting. So we welcome you, Lewis Harvey. Hi, this is Josh Jelinski, your financial quarterback.
Good morning, Josh. Great to be on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Now, I've been reading your report, the quantitative analysis of investor behavior, for years. So it's great to have you on as a guest. And for those who've never heard of the QAIB, tell them what it means, you know, in plain English.
In plain English, what it's telling us, the community, is that investors are not making as much money as the statistics that you read from day to day would indicate. So if the Dow Jones goes up 100 points, does that mean the investors are making 100 points worth of money? And so forth and so on. As it turns out, we've found that over the years, investors earn substantially less than what the indicators and the statistics show. The point being, why? You know, what is the difference? And there are a number of reasons why that's less. Some are, you have little control over, but probably the one with the biggest area of control is the behavior. What is it that investors do in response to the market and in response to their own situations?
Yeah, so they're being taken over by the cycle of fear and greed. You want to talk a little bit about that? Cycle of fear and greed?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the cycle of greed first. What happens in that cycle of greed is that as the markets appreciate, as they hear news of successes in the market, everybody wants to participate. Unfortunately, the news occurs after the success. So what happens is the market is already run up by the time investors begin to pile in.
Oh, exactly.
A losing strategy. On the fear side...
Now, that's critical, folks, because a lot of people right now are getting excited about the market after four straight positive years.
Exactly. There's no better illustration of it than right now. You know, can the markets continue to go up the way they've been in over the last several years? Well, I'd say that's highly doubtful. But we also have the problem that's equally severe of investors finding that the market does in fact decline. And again, after it's declined, they get the news that it's declined and they said, we're getting out of here. This kitchen is too hot. But unfortunately, as we saw in 2008 to 2009, that changed. So all of the investors that got out between the end of 2008 and 2009, by 2010 or 11 began to regret it, and by today, they're crying in their soup.
Yeah, so... I mean, the last 5 years has been the perfect illustration of what the average investor has been experiencing. In 08, they were overcome with fear, so they sold at precisely the worst time to sell. Now many are buying maybe at the worst time to buy because they're being overtaken by greed. So here's the point. Greed is never good when it comes to investing, and neither is fear. You know, And that's where we're going to go a little bit is you guys in your 2013 QAIB full study, which you've been so generous to allow our listeners to receive. Folks, if you want a copy of Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar, of Dalbar's work, the 2013 quantitative analysis of investor behavior, we will show you how to get that. We'll print that out for you when you come into my office for the complimentary review, and we'll go over how this could affect you and their key findings for 2013 and what that means as far as your risk tolerance, as your asset allocation, and how you can allow behavioral psychology to be to your benefit and not to your detriment. So give my office a call at 888-988-JOSH. That's 888-988-5674. And if you have any questions for – now, are you a doctor? I didn't see that because I didn't want to
No, I'm not. Actually, my background is quite different. I'm a physicist. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was going to call you Dr. Lewis Harvey because the wealth of resources – that you all at Dalbar put out is just so helpful. So what do you think that's new in the study for 2013 that our listeners maybe have not heard about? And then I even saw an article saying that this year was one of the first years that actually the average investor did better. Typically, when you come out with the QAIB study, it shows somewhere around a 7% average for the S&P 500. Or 8% compared with about a 3 or 4% real return for investors based on buying and selling at the wrong time. This year, the real return's a little bit up due to the overperformance of the stock market the last couple of years. You want to comment on that?
Well, sure. I think one of the things that we've seen from a behavioral perspective is that people had not yet really overcome the dowager sort of feeling of 2008, so they had not yet started to pile in. And what we saw was a relatively normal market where investors were, you know, in a more orderly process getting into the market, and therefore they did very well. What we're seeing in the first quarter of 2013, however, is more of that exuberance, which usually is, you know, foretells some danger.
Yeah, irrational exuberance is never a good thing for the market, so and never a good thing for the investor class. Now, as we looked at the Dalbar, and for those of you who don't, you know, just tuning in, we're with Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar. You have a 37-page report that you've been so gracious to allow us to share with our listeners at 800. All you got to do is call my office at 888-988-JOSH. Request a no-obligation review at 888-988-JOSH. That's 888-988-5674. And we'll throw in this 37-page report for those of you who scheduled the no-obligation review. I think this report needs to be read every year by every investor. This is how much I read it every year. Because I learn things new every year from it. Because no one has kahunas of steel, right? Right, Lewis?
that's certainly the English way of describing it.
they always allow their investment psychology to affect their performance.
Their decision making. And that's natural. I mean, nobody, as you pointed out, nobody has nerves of steel. We're all susceptible to the fears and aspirations that, you know, that drive human nature. One just needs to understand what one is doing and put defenses up against it. And each year, as we do the analysis, one of the key things that we try to do every year, as you pointed out, is to find ways to help investors overcome this problem. And our focus this year, focus in 2013, has been on asset allocation and asset allocation strategies, which has great hope for investors, I think, and with a few tweaks, a few corrections in the process that's in place today, and things that investors can, in fact, and should, in fact, do to take advantage of it. And the first one is the recognition of that you cannot have a riskless return. You do need to take some risk if you're going to get some return. But the trick in asset allocation is finding that delicate balance that matches up with your own psychology. And what we've found is that if you match that properly, you overcome many of the impulses that you have. You tend not to jump into the market when you think it's going up, and you tend not to jump out for fear it's going down, because you've got a more balanced approach that matches your tolerance for risk and your desire for appreciation. And with a careful selection of asset allocation, one can ameliorate that problem very, very greatly.
We're with Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar, and Dalbar released a 2013 quantitative analysis of investor behavior study that we have available for those of you scheduled the no obligation review at 888-988-JOSH. That's 888-988-5674. Also, if you have a question for Mr. Harvey, give us a call on how investor psychology affects performance. I also wanted to throw this out to you. You're mentioning asset allocation as an antidote for investor fear. I want to talk a little bit more about that after the next break. But something I want you to think about is when you're talking about these asset allocation funds in your report, are you meaning the new target date funds, or are you talking about just the science of asset allocation? So when we return, I'll be back with Mr. Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar, and with your questions. So if you have a question for me, Josh Jelinski, your financial quarterback, or Mr. Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar, give us a call. This is Josh Jelinski, your financial quarterback. Don't touch that dial.
Tax-deferred vehicles such as 401ks and IRAs sound good up front, but did you realize that when you retire, you'll have to pay taxes on all your earnings? You can legally minimize your taxes when you withdraw retirement funds with tax-free IRAs and other tax-favored accounts. Call the Jelinski Advisory Group now at 888-988-JOSH. That's 888-988-JOSH to learn how you could enjoy a higher standard of living with these tax-favored accounts. Make sure you don't get blindsided by taxes on your retirement plans. Call Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback, now for a complimentary one-hour consultation to empower your financial decisions. Leave your checkbook at home. They will not sell anything at this meeting, but educate you on your many options in retirement. In fact, if you call right now for one of the complimentary, no-fee, tax-fighting reviews, they will give you a copy of the book, Tax-Free Retirement, as a free gift. If you call within the next 3 minutes, call 888-988-JOSH. That's 888-988-JOSH. Now, let's get back in the huddle with the financial quarterback.
Just take those old records on the shelf. We're back. This is Josh Jelinski, your financial quarterback, with Mr. Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar, which released the 2013 quantitative analysis in quantitative analysis of investor behavior, which, by the way, they've been so gracious to allow us to reprint and share the 37-page report for those of you who want to learn the key findings. Now, on asset allocation, Mr. Harvey, what precise version of asset allocation are we talking about here? Are we talking about target date funds? Are we talking about preset balance funds, or are we just talking about a diversified portfolio?
Well, we run in this report, we've run the gamut. We introduce the science, we introduce the discussion with the science of asset allocation and talk about the principles involved and what one is trying to accomplish, determining risk tolerance and the like. And then we begin to drill down across all of the funds in particular, the various types of funds, whether it be balanced funds, target date funds, some are called asset allocation funds, and so forth. But then we end the discussion with a very narrow band of examples of specific balanced, moderate balanced funds. In other words, funds that are designed for those investors who would be categorized as moderate in their investment perspective, and really showed how wide a gap there is between good allocators and, shall we say, fourth quartile allocators, so as not to hurt anybody's feelings.
As not to. Yeah, there's a huge disparity. And many of these are good companies, and you know, there are 28 different rankings based on these quartile results, and you know, the investor could be surprised to find who's on top and who's on bottom, and maybe it'll allow, and I think the transparency that you guys allow these people to go through will maybe allow for better allocation strategies. Now, for I want to point out too what this allowed. Is and I get this even with clients who we have in diversified portfolios, is the one-year rate of return for the average equity investor was 15.56% compared to 15.98 for the S&P. Meanwhile, the average asset allocated investor generated half that, or about 8.83%. Here's what that tells me, and I don't know if you want to comment on this. People still are not involved in the science of asset allocation. They are still just really linking to the index. And if the average stock market investor is getting what the S&P 500 is, they're going to be getting what the S&P 500 is the next time it goes down. So they're not going to be protected in the event of a downturn. Could be next year, year after. We don't know when the next downturn is. We know one will be inevitable eventually. Just a matter of, you know, capitalism. There's cycles. Mm-hmm. You want to comment on that a little bit? Because I saw that one chart where you had 15.56 was what the average equity investor made. So what that's telling me is the average person is really in the S&P 500 with no cover in the event of a downturn.
Yes, the you know, and keep
so
in mind.
So people haven't learned their lesson. People haven't learned the lesson of 08.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, Josh, that, you know, when you go to Las Vegas, somebody wins sometime.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, to some extent, what we saw in 2012. And that's why you saw those spectacular results. They are, however, not sustainable. Hmm. You know, if you continue to expect that you're going to match the S&P return on the upside, then you'd be denying history. It's just not the case. We saw that, and I don't think it's because the investing public suddenly, you know, in 1 year got really, really smart. And so it's more likely they got really, really lucky. So the point here being, we see asset allocation as taking a price. There's a price for asset allocation, and that is that you're not going to have the average equity return in the up years, but you're also not going to suffer as severely in the down years. So that premium that one pays is for the comfort of knowing that you're not rolling the dice, but you're having a measured and reasonable approach to investing.
Yeah, and that's very important to realize, because, folks, if you're average, you are underperforming the S&P 500 by 50% according to the 2012 number, which thankfully has improved. Back in 08, the S&P 500 averaged 8.35% long term, but the average investor only made 1.87%. That average investor return has gone up to about 4.25. But like you said, the antidote for fear is a well-balanced asset allocation strategy. And very good point.
Yeah. I would also add, you know, the investor needs to focus not only on the fact of asset allocation, which is, the report is very critical of. It's not just the fact. It's that the allocator is doing a good job.
Exactly.
You know, I've cried literally for years hearing regulators simply say, well, you need to allocate, you need to have an asset allocation strategy. No, you need to have a good asset allocation strategy. Because as we've shown in the numbers in this report, a bad asset allocation strategy is just as good as not having one at all.
Exactly. And we're with Mr. Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar, which Dalbar is known around the financial industry as the source of investor behavior analysis. And if folks, if you want to call my office at 888-988-JOSH, we'll give you a copy of the Dalbar report, complimentary when you schedule your no obligation financial review with me. And we'll look at these asset allocation strategies, because that's a great point, Mr. Harvey. The biggest point that I see with asset allocation is people think they're allocated just because of the number of funds, right?
Right, yeah.
So I have 12 funds or 4 funds, therefore I am diversified. Wrong. Many times people will think they're allocated because they have 4 of the same categories but 4 different companies.
Yep.
That is not asset allocation. And some asset allocators, and that's another good point, they're not really truly allocating, and they're not reinventing themselves. For example, 5 years ago, the BRIC countries, I want you to comment on this, because the composition of asset allocation needs to change every year, I think, too, and be innovative. Mm-hmm. Because a couple of years ago, everybody was talking about the BRIC countries, right? Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Now I'm hearing a lot of people talking about the MIPS countries, you know, Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, and Singapore as a place for potential growth. You know, most international index funds or international components of an asset allocation strategy, they may be leaving some of the biggest growth factors of international markets up, which may water down performance too. Any comments on that?
I absolutely do. I think you've nailed one of the biggest tragedies of recent years in the investment community, and that is this notion that we find in target date funds that presumes that an investment manager can look ahead 30 or 40 years and tell you what the asset allocation should be at that point in time. I mean, it seems to me so ludicrous. I just don't understand how the community could accept it. And, you know, we keep talking about this curve that one can determine and forecast ahead of time where things stand. And the example that you gave is a perfect one, but I also give you another one that is equally dramatic, and that is 20 years ago, you would think that the real estate market is a growth market.
Exactly.
And if you did your asset allocation with a portion in real estate, you know, whether it be residential or commercial, whether it be in a REIT or directly invested in that segment of the marketplace, you'd have turned upside down. You'd be crazy today. So one has to be dynamic if one has a good asset allocation strategy. One has to look at the reality at the point in time of what's going on, not make the assumption that assets, the term that we use, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, that assets are uncorrelated and that remains permanent. It's not. It keeps changing. It may not change as much as individual companies do, you know, companies that do well and poorly from one quarter to the other, but it does change over time. And any strategy that doesn't keep that into consideration should probably be excluded.
Exactly. Now, we're with Mr. Lewis Harvey, president of Dalbar, which released a study on investor psychology. And we have a call from Gordon, who's calling us. So, folks, if you have a question for me live or Mr. Lewis Harvey, feel free to give me a call right now. We're taking your questions on how real investors are not getting what the real market is, and now they may be setting themselves up for another fear or greed cycle, which no matter what Gordon Gekko says, greed is not good when it comes to investing. Next up, we have Gordon. You're on with Josh Jelinski and Mr. Lewis Harvey. Hi, Gordon.
Yes, Josh, a great guest as usual. And by the way, my last name is not Gekko, of course. I would ask Mr. Harvey if he thinks that the Federal Reserve, led by Mr. Bernanke, is deliberately trying to force small investors like myself into risky investments like the stock market by keeping bond interest rates down so low at this point.
Well, I certainly cannot answer intent. I don't know what Mr. Bernanke's intent is, because that's only in his head. But I think you've nailed the effect of it. The effect of this policy is to favor the large and well-capitalized financial institutions, protect them and their profits, and, you know, consequentially put the small investor and those dependent on things like bonds for retirement income at the wrong end of the northbound cow, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with Mr. Harvey's sentiments, Gordon, because, you know, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the death of fixed income investors, and fixed income investors are suffering. Mr. Harvey, I want to keep you on for another couple minutes if we can, if you have time. I want to talk about some insights I have on your report and some things, some extra gleanings that we can generate to fight our psychology and to win back our portfolios from the vicious cycle of fear and greed. This is Josh Jelinski, your financial quarterback. Don't touch that dial.